and we had a good time. If you ever want to see a real live train wreck, come to the nursing home. Come to the nursing home when I'm the one leading it, and you will see a bona fide train wreck. So, but hey, that's fun. You know, those people that are at the nursing home, most of their families have pretty much just kind of forgotten about them. And those people need somebody to take care of them. And whenever we were in Bible school, I spent a few years working at a nursing home maintenance man and had a great time doing it. I mean, we did, you know, we played more than we worked. But we had a good time doing that. And I also had the chance to be able to preach and teach to those folks that I was working with. And there's one thing you'll learn about those people. They don't really tell you too much, but they're hurting. And I mean, nobody comes to visit them. The only friends they have are, you know, the nurses that are taking care of them. And I mean, they, you know, they're really not family to those nurses. So those nurses, I mean, you know, they may do their job and they may not. I've seen a lot of those CNAs that are in there that just don't care. And then again, I've seen some real good ones. I mean, you know, not every nurse is like Mrs. Catterman. I'm sure Mrs. Catterman is the perfect nurse. Amen. But I mean, you know, not every nurse, not every doctor, not every, you know, physician is geared toward just loving people and caring for them. I mean, you know, sometimes it just gets kind of, you know, monotonous. So, you know, they have, I mean, you know, they need somebody to come talk to them. And even if it's a train wreck like me trying to get up there and talk to them or sing to them, then hey, I mean, you know, they like it. They like it. Well, we had one lady sitting down front this afternoon that wasn't too happy because she didn't have a 35, and that just wasn't right. And I never did really figure out, oh, songbook. Yeah, that's right. So she said, that's just not right. And I thought, Derek, what'd you do? Did you make her mad? All right, Hebrews chapter 12, I wouldn't say the title of anything tonight. This is going to be more or less a kind of a get down and just kind of get close to you here for just a little bit. Not really preaching to you tonight, maybe teaching, but trying to just try to push you to try to get to the point where you can change, you know, where your life can actually do something. And if I had to title it, I would say, why is there no change? I mean, as Christians, we should change. We should come to church. We should be faithful to church. We should be faithful to the Word of God, and it should change us. Amen. I mean, I told you this morning when I got saved that the Bible changed me. It did something on the inside that made the outside different as well. And it should change us, should make us different. So let's look in Hebrews here, Hebrews chapter 12. I'll just read the first couple of verses here, and you guys have read them before. I mean, it's very familiar passages. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now notice it said it easily besets you. There's a lot of preaching on your besetting sin, whatever that may be. But notice the Word of God says it easily besets you. I mean, there's something out there that can get you every time. It's easy. It's easy. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you didn't fall into sin, you jumped, bless God. He said, you jumped into it. You didn't just fall into it. You know, people are always saying that so-and-so fell into sin. No, they didn't fall. They jumped. If I fall into sin, I don't fall into it. I'm jumping into it. And I make a conscious decision to jump into it. And because it easily besets me. He says, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Anybody in here hate running? Oh my gosh. I hate running. It's terrible. Walking. I mean, I hate walking or running, either one. And verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's at the finish line, and he's waiting on us, and we're supposed to be looking at him. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 1, he says that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the idea is there's something that's holding you back. There's something that's holding you back. Wednesday is known as what day? Hump day. If you can just get over the hump, you can make it for the rest of the week, right? Now, there's a point there where if you can just get past that point, then you can move on and you can gain some ground, you know. Monday's terrible. Tuesday's even worse. Wednesday's, oh, God, please get me out of this. And then Thursday's like, okay, I'm almost to the weekend. And then Friday's like, last day, man. And then Saturday comes and you work harder at home on Saturday and Sunday than you do Monday through Friday. So it's a vacation when you go back to work. But there's something that's keeping us from being able to run that race. And you know what that is in your own life. I mean, you know, we all have certain things that hold us back. And that's what I want to talk about tonight is why is that? And why can't we get over that hump to be able to start living for the Lord better? Why does the Word of God not bear more fruit in our lives? Amen? In John 15, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. And he says, every tree which beareth fruit, what does he do with it? What does he do with it? I think it says he plucketh it, doesn't it? If you got how many of you got a garden? Gardens. How many of you grow tomatoes? Anybody know what a sucker is? The sucker's on those tomatoes. Yeah, the boys are pointing at each other. Hey, right there's the sucker. The sucker is the, you know, you got these two branches and you got a little thing that tries to kind of start sprouting out there. And you got to reach and you got to pull that thing off because it's sucking the nutrients from those other good vines. So you got to go out there and prune those things. You got to pluck those things. And Jesus sometimes will have to go into your life and grab a hold of the sucker that's sucking the life out of you and pull it off so that you can make more fruit and bear more fruit. Jesus don't just want you to bear, you know, say, you know, you got this nice big plant that's growing and you get 8 or 9 good sized tomatoes off of it. Jesus don't just want 8 or 9 tomatoes. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get more. And the only way to get more is start plucking it, pruning it, and so it can keep growing and keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. Apple trees, pears, just different things. You have to prune some things, okay? And the idea is there's something that's keeping us back, something that's keeping us back. And why does it not bear more fruit in our lives than what it does? There's nobody in this room tonight that has arrived. Nobody's arrived yet. I mean, we're all Bible believers. We're Bible believers, amen. Believe the book. But I'm going to tell you something. In the light of Peter, in the light of Paul, in the light of some of the great Christians of the past, man, we're nothing. 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 How many of you know who Nate Sain is? I'm nothing in his sight. Good grief, man. I mean, some of these guys have, I mean, went through so much suffering and pain and agony and torture. Philip Bliss, how many of you know who Philip Bliss is? He wrote, "It Is Well With My Soul." You guys know the story behind that? That guy, man, at the judgment seat, I hope I'm 6 miles away from him. I don't want to be that guy. Those guys found out a way to get over the hump and to be able to get past that sin which doth so easily beset them so that they could go on and run the race with patience. Now they struggle with sin for the rest of their lives, but you know there's something in your life that's holding you back. And the question is, why does the Word not bear more fruit in our lives than what it does? And what I want to do tonight, I want to prove to you that what's holding you back, okay, can be settled and can be handled by the Word. That's what's going to take care of it. That's what'll take care of it. Okay? The reason it doesn't bear fruit in your life more than it does, why don't we not have more prayers answered? Amen? Why? I mean, why? We should have a lot of prayers answered if we had faith of a grain of mustard seed. I mean, Jesus said, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then I could go out and look at that mountain and say, get out of the way, and it's gone. If I trusted him enough, okay? So why do we not have more change? I struggle with certain things in my life, and I want things to get better. And I keep fighting things, so on and so forth. Anyways, we'll get into this. First thing I want to talk to you tonight, and it's just like making a garden. It's just like growing vegetables, growing things. First thing you have to do is you have to plant. You have to plant, right? You have to take the seeds and you have to put them in the ground. Now, purposeful act, or is that something that just accidentally happens to get into my garden? I have a garden at home, and I have rows, and I have little beds, and I have certain things made out. Thank God for Brother Joe Kenny. He came over and helped me do that, because I am not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb. But he came over, and he helped me out, and he showed me how to do this and that and this and that, and we got roses. I mean, nice, pretty rows of things coming up. Man, I love it. I love it. And you go down there, and I mean, seeds didn't blow from Pastor Hoffman's greenhouse and just happened to find their way into my garden in a perfect row just like that. That was a purposeful act that I did on purpose when I planted that seed. I took the seed and I planted it, okay? This whole message tonight centers around the Word of God. You have to plant it. We have to plant the Word of God in our hearts. And it has to be a purposeful act on purpose. It has to be on purpose. It has to be a voluntary act of the free will. Now, modern technology, I cannot stand it. But it does have some pretty good things. For instance, on my phone that I have here, I have a couple of apps. One of them is called sermonaudio.com. I have Final Fight Bible Radio. And those are two apps that I have that are good, good apps where you can get on. And I listen to Pastor Hoffman preach on there. I listen to Rick Sal preach on there. I listen to several different preachers preach on a daily basis. And I have to purposely make myself do it. Okay? You get on Final Fight Bible Radio. It's a radio station that's streamed live, and you click on it, and it pulls it up. You can listen to preaching. You can listen to teaching. You can listen to singing. When you get in your cars and you drive home, what do you listen to? You say, I don't listen to nothing, because that radio is hellish and ungodly. Are you listening to something that's worth anything? Take a CD and pop it in there. I mean, there's CDs here you can get. If you don't have any, get a hold of somebody. But you have to purposely, you have to purpose it. You have to say, I'm going to make myself listen to some preaching. You have to get the Word of God. Somehow, you have to get the Word of God from out there in here. Not just in here, but in here. If you get it in here enough, and you keep pumping it into here, eventually that book's alive, and it's going to make its way down to here. And you'll start seeing a change. But you have to do it on purpose, okay? You have to plant it. You have to sow the seed. You have to sow the seed, right? Everybody remember the sower and the seed? He goes out and he sows some seeds, and some of it falls on stony ground. Some of it falls on different types of ground, right? But you have to give it a chance to grow. There's so many Christians that say, I just can't understand why there's no change in my life. I just can't understand. And I say, do you come to church on Sunday mornings? Well, I mean, I try. What? What about Sunday nights? You go, sometimes. You go on a midweek service? Well, how much time you spend in your Bible? You read your Bible very much? Well, yeah. You know what the problem is? You're not getting anything put into you. You know what you're getting put into you? You're getting the world put into you. You go home, you turn on the television, you know what happens? You get the world put into you. You go home, you turn on the country music radio station, you know what happens to you? You get the world put into you. You're taking something in whether you realize it or not. Okay? And the day and age we live in, if you don't get an abnormal balance of good stuff over the bad stuff, you're going to perish. You're going to go down. This old man, Lee Gibson, Bridget knows him at an old church that I got saved in. He's an old man. He said, son, when you get saved, he said, you got two dogs living inside of you. And I thought, God, this guy's a coot, man. He said, you got a black dog and you got a white dog. And he said, whichever one you feed the more, you're going to win the fight. He said, they're fighting on a daily basis. But you got to feed one of them. And if you feed the black dog, then he's going to beat the white dog. If you feed the white dog, vice versa, he's going to beat the black dog. That's common sense, people. That's common sense. Amen? You have to purposely, you have to on purpose say, I'm going to put the Word of God in my heart. What do you have hanging up on your walls at home? I mean, you know, if you have pictures of your family, that's fine. But put something somewhere throughout your house to where if a lost person walked into your house, they'd know, this is a Christian home. This is a Christian home. I mean, these people are Christians. I mean, there should be something in your home that says, these people are Christians. I'm a Christian. Bible verses are the best thing. I love going in here to the bathroom. You walk in there and there's scripture. And you know, you walk into this hallway down here and there's scripture on the walls. Listen, that's great. That's great because no matter where you go throughout that house, you've got the Word of God staring you right in the face. And if you don't have something like that, then you're just having the worldly influences and stuff coming into your heart. And that'll change you, but it'll obviously be the wrong change. Number two, you have to water it. You have to water that thing. Whenever you put that seed in the ground, if you leave it and the sun shines down on it and sun shines down on it and sun shines down on it, it ain't going to grow. You've got to have water to make it grow, right? You have to have some water to make it grow. You have to have something to keep it going, to nourish it, right? Paul said you have to daily put on the new man, didn't he? You have to put on the new man daily. You have to take that old man and say, get out. Get out. I don't need you anymore. So you have to do something on a daily basis. It's a constant renewing of the mind is what Paul said. He said it's a renewing of the mind. What do you do with your mind? What do? You think. Thoughts. Thoughts are always running. Thoughts are always moving. Your mind is always thinking. My mind goes about 180 miles per hour. I mean, I could be thinking about this 1 second and then in the same second think about something 180 degrees over on this side and then go this way and think about something. And it honestly drives me crazy sometimes. I mean, there's times that I stop and I say, Lord, can you just put an empty space in my mind somewhere where I can just rest a little bit because I get tired of it. It's just nuts. And my life is so hectic and chaotic that there's always something going on. It's wow, just all the time going. My mind stays working. And so you have to do something with your thoughts. Your thought life needs work. My thought life needs work. Paul said in Philippians, he said, whatsoever things are pure, are just, lovely, of good report, so on and so forth. Think on these things. And the God of peace, so on and so forth, shall comfort you. You have to think. You have to control your thought life. You have to make it do what you want it to do. If you find yourself thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about, then say, no. No. And then start quoting scripture to yourself. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then just start running through some scriptures throughout your mind. But you have to constantly do that. You have to do it. Hebrews chapter 5. You're in Hebrews. Turn to chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. Actually, look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. I always think of, well, I generally think of myself when I read that, but I also think of some, you know, some Christian that's been saved for 20 or 30 years that's never grown. He's never grown. He or she has never grown in grace, never grown in the knowledge of the Word of God, never really took that step to get out and grow some. And he says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now look, the book's full of milk, but it's also full of strong meat. Good, strong doctrine, okay? There's milk, but there's meat too, okay? And he says, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, okay? You get somebody that's a brand new Christian, you're not going to jerk them in here and start giving them some strong meat. Because what are they going to do? Just like a baby, if you give it a piece of meat, it's going to choke on it. And it's not going to help it. And verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, here it is, who by reason of use they've used it, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Bodily exercise profiteth little, right? But if you want to think about some spiritual exercise, I'll tell you a good way to do that. Get you some Bible verses in your head, and whenever we go street preaching at Purdue, go down there. Go down there. And I think it was rained out last time, wasn't it? Yeah. The next time it comes open, I've made a vow to myself, I'm gonna go down there. It's been a while since I've been out on the street and preached much. But when you do that, you know what you're doing? You get those Bible verses memorized, you're exercising. And you're keeping that thing going, and then you get out there, and by reason of use, you use those words, and you put those words out, okay, so that people can hear them. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself. He's not talking about physical exercise. Rather, unto godliness. There again, if you go to the gym and work out, if you go outside and put your tennis shoes on and your workout clothes and you go running down the road, you have to purpose in your heart, I'm going to do this. It's an on-purpose act. It's not something where you say, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to move me. How many of you remember the old Quakers? Ever hear about them talking about Quakers? Quakers. They'd all sit in the pews and they'd come meet for church and they'd sit in the pews and they'd wait. And, I mean, you know, they didn't have them. Like a regular pastor that would get up and have a message prepared, they'd just all sit there and they'd wait. And they'd wait for something to start shaking, quaking. They called it quaking. And somebody'd sit there and say, yep, I believe I got the message. And then just get up and just start going on, doing whatever. That's like a lot of Christians today. They're just sitting there waiting. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to move me. Maybe the Lord's waiting on you to move. Maybe the Lord's waiting on you to do something. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't just sit in the back pew and say, okay, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting. You know what I did? I made the first step. I had to make the first step and say, all right, here I am. Bam. And I got out and went, and I got saved. But you have to exercise. It's a constant renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2, Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, okay? If you go down to BMV, God help me for even saying that in church. I hate that place. Oh, man, my wife's laughing at me. You know, I don't know how many times it took me to get, never mind. BMV office, your tags run out of date. You go down to the BMV office, what do you do to them? Renew them. If you don't, what happens? You get in trouble. Cops stop and give you a ticket. You got to pay it. You got to go to court maybe. Something like that happened. You got to renew something. Okay, you got to get that thing renewed. Praise the Lord, I got saved, my destination's fixed. But on the way there, I got to get renewed. I got to get rejuvenated. We have to have a revival every now and then just to keep you moving and to keep you going. You know why Thursday night services are so important? To get you through, man. To get you through. To get you through. Whenever on those weeks that I work on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I have to work Wednesday and Thursday too. So there's one week where I miss services on Sunday and Thursday. Man, that's a dreaded week. Oh, God, it's terrible. And then I finally get to come to church. The following week, I get Sundays and Thursdays. So it's like, hey, I get to come to church, and it's like I get on a high, and it's like, oh, now I got to go back to work. And I got to go back again. It's a daily process. You have to continually bathe in the Word of God, okay, on a regular basis. How many of you take showers once a week? Do not raise your hand. How often do you take a shower? I'd be willing to bet you do it at least once every day or two. I mean, if my 17-year-old boy don't take one every 10 minutes, he smells like smells terrible. You get dirty. Listen, man, you gotta get cleaned up. Whenever that priest would walk into that tabernacle, he'd get his feet dirty. And then he'd walk up that brazen laver full of water. And what did he do with the water? Well, he didn't take it and Peace, peace, you know, and act like the Pope walking in there with his little beads, twiddling his beads and, you know, doing all this stuff. I had to wash his feet. Why? Because you better not enter into that Holy of Holies with nasty feet. Because no unclean thing shall enter therein. Amen. So it's a daily basis, daily thing that has to happen. Last thing, it needs sunshine. You plant the seed, you get the Word of God put in you, purposely put it in you. Okay, now you have to do it on a daily basis. You have to keep it coming in, and you got to keep it coming in, and coming in, and coming in, and coming in, okay? That's watering it. And so now, you got to have some sunshine to come down on it, give you some heat, give you some light, give you some vitamin D, some nutrients to get that plant to grow, to get that thing to come up. That's the sunshine. Now, wrap this thing back around. The first one, you have to plant the seeds. Turn to Ecclesiastes. I'm convinced that every problem that mankind has, every problem that mankind has got, there's an answer for it in this book. There's an answer for it right here. Right here. This is the answer to every single problem. Right here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now the first thing you have to do is you have to plant it. You got to sow the seeds. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11, 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Jesus said in Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word of God. The words. Every word. Give a portion to 7, verse 2, and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Ain't nothing you're going to do about it. Just let it lie. It's going to be there. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You read in Proverbs, it says, there's a lion in the streets. I ain't going out there. There ain't no lion in the streets. Come on. You know what that is? That's an excuse to not go out and sow the Word of God. You're supposed to be sowing seeds. You're supposed to be sowing bread. Okay? That's what the bread is in verse number 1. And then you get down to verse 4. It says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. Oh, the wind's blowing. I can't get out there and do that today. You know, it's cold outside, preacher. I just really don't feel like going to stand on the street corner. Well, you know, they're calling for rain here later on. 20% chance of rain. Now, I mean, that's, you know, may get some rain. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you don't sow, you know what else you ain't going to do? You ain't going to reap. And if you don't sow right now, when you reach the judgment seat of Christ, you know what you ain't going to do? You ain't going to reap. And you're going to stand there naked and ashamed. Whew. This play that y'all just put on here, whenever that was, November. Man, that was great. I was telling Bridget yesterday or today, I think. Just watching it kind of puts into perspective how serious it's going to be. At the judgment seat of Christ, when I get there, and, you know, watching some of these people up here, you know, that got to rule over certain parts of the countries and the nations and so on and so forth, and then seeing other ones that didn't get to rule. What was Lucas's name? Harley, yeah. He got to clean the toilets. I mean, he was saved. Hey, praise God he's saved and all that stuff. But I remember Brother Nolan looked at him and said, Harley, you go clean all the toilets. And, of course, Lucas is like, you know. The other ones was like, okay, yeah, go over and take care of this business for me. And I thought to myself, I do not want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have nothing to give to the Lord. I mean, that's embarrassing. Not only is that embarrassing, but listen, that scares me to death. I know he's not going to throw me in hell, but boy, I can just imagine the belt that's going to come out and give me a whooping. I'm scared to death of it. I'm scared of it. I don't like it. And that fear alone kind of prods me to do something for the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen, fear's a good motive. Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He was moved with fear. He did it. He did the right thing, and God blessed him for it. Okay? But that seed is the Word of God. Okay? You have to water it, number two. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. He talks about the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5, 26. Ephesians 5, 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word is the water. Okay? You get the word of God planted in your heart. You know how you water that seed that's been planted? You put more of the word in there and put more water on it, more word, and pretty soon you wind up with not just a little green onion, but a big bulb. And things just keep growing and growing and growing and multiplying. The more water you put on it, the more word you put on top of the word, and you're all right. And last of all, I said it needs sunshine. Psalm chapter 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. Light. You have to plant the word of God purposely. And then you have to purposely take the washing of the water with the word and put more on it. And then you have to purposely open up the blinds and let the sun shine in with the word. That's it. You know what our sin that does so easily beset us is? I think I could say it with, I don't know, maybe not everybody because I don't know you that well. But we don't spend enough time in the book, guys. We don't spend enough time in the book. I know you're going to have trouble when you serve Christ. We talked about that this morning, okay? But like I told you, I 150,000% believe that this book is the answer to every problem known to man. You want to know how to grow a garden? It's in here. You want to know how to go train to fight war? It's in here. You want to know how to solve problems between brethren? It's in here. You want to know how to grow and get over the hump in your life to help you get moving, serving God better? It's in here. The reason you can't get over the hump and the reason I can't get over the hump is because there's not enough of this coming into here. That's the problem. That's the problem. Listen, we're all guilty of it. And then we sit there and we cry, oh, Lord, how come this ain't happening? Oh, Lord, how come I can't change? Oh, woe is me, woe is me. And I thought, to myself, I'm gonna give you one here. Confess your faults one to another. We went over to the nursing home, and I said, it's a train wreck, you know. We got in the car, we left. And I looked at Bridget, I said, well, that was a train wreck. She kind of laughed. She said, yeah. I said, you know what? She said, well, I said, my biggest problem is I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared for it. I thought, I'll just get in there and wing it. Hey, you know, it's just, you know, nursing home. Older folk. I mean, you know, half of them don't even know what you're saying anyway. And I thought, I'm just going to wing it. And I had a little outline stuff that I had written down. And I got up there and I couldn't think. I mean, my head was gone. My brain was gone. My mind was out. And I said, you know what I didn't do? I didn't spend enough time with the Word of God bathing my soul before I went in there. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I made the comment this morning that the suffering and being a Bible-believing Christian or biblical Christianity goes hand in hand. It's synonymous, right? And there's a difference in suffering for following Christ and then suffering because you're a boneheaded fool and don't do what you know you're supposed to be doing. Amen?
Amen.
And most of my suffering is my own fault. I mean, it ain't because I'm, you know, selling all that I have and serving Christ with everything that I have. It's because I'm a boneheaded fool. And I make dumb choices. And I make dumb mistakes. And I make them on a daily basis. And I got nobody else to blame but myself. Amen. Amen. And amen. And if you were honest, you'd say the same thing. I'm trying to raise 5 kids. And I try to raise them to take responsibility for what they're doing. Okay? You make a bad choice, you got nobody else to blame but yourself. You can't blame it on me. I didn't raise you like that. Now, there are some things you might be able to blame on me. But there's some, you know, like, you know, well, I mean, all their bad manners and habits they get from their mother. But you can't blame everything on somebody else. Amen? step up and take the blame. Just take it. I'd say, I'm suffering right now, and I'm miserable right now, and I'm depressed right now because I did something stupid that I shouldn't have done. And I should have spent more time praying and seeking God's counsel from His book on it. And if I would have done that, I wouldn't be in the shape I'm in now. But I didn't do that. So I had to eat some spiritual crow while I was driving this afternoon and had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. That was my fault. I mean, I should have never done it. How many of you purpose in your heart, I'm going to get up early tomorrow morning? And you guys know where I'm going with this because every one of you have done it. I'm going to get up early tomorrow morning and I'm going to spend 30 minutes reading my Bible and praying before I go to work. Now, for those of you that make it happen, praise the Lord. But for the rest of us that are normal people, never happens. Alarm clock goes off. Oh, yeah, I'll hit that snooze button one more time. Hit it. And for me, I have two alarms going off, so I hit snooze on one and hit snooze on the other one. And then I wind up, you know, get up about, you know, about 5:15, which is late for me. I have to get there early. About 5:15, then I got to get up. I got to run in there and grab my lunch cooler and try to throw something. And, you know, I don't even make sandwiches no more. I just take packages of lunch meat and throw it in there. You know, and grab a couple of pieces of bread and put it in a Ziploc bag and throw it in there. No mayonnaise, no mustard, no ketchup. Just throw it in there. Maybe if there's a slice of cheese that the kids ain't eat, take it and throw it in there. You know. Well, I can get a drink when I get to work. I can get some water. Oh, I got to hurry up and get out the door. And you hurry up. Man, I get so tired of not having change in my life. I don't know about y'all, but I get tired of the monotonous thing of daily facing the same battles when I know that I don't have to face those battles. I can get victory over it. And I know the key to it. And you know the key to it also. Everything centers around this book. Everything. The universe hangs on this book. The solar system hangs on this book and God's words. If it's that powerful, then surely to God, it's powerful enough to change my life and to make me different. As a Christian, to make me a better Christian, to help me to push forward and press toward the mark and to get past this hump thing, you know. You come up to the speed bump. Anybody in here like speed bumps? I hate them. Speed bumps, you know what they do? They keep you from being able to drive 50 miles an hour through Walmart parking lot. And I would love to drive 50 miles per hour through Walmart parking lot. I can say that because my oldest boy that drives ain't here right now. But I can't stand a speed bump. You hit that thing too hard, you know what happens? Just tear the tires out from under your car, tear everything up. Amen? I'll tell this story. I got to give you this one. We were on deputation, and we were in Colorado. You know where I'm going. We were in Colorado. We were in San Luis. Remember the place where the goats was in the trailer? Yeah, we had this place where we went to. And we had a meeting. It was in the San Luis Valley. It's like third world. Really, God's honest truth. Third world area within the States. But there's a little church down there. It's called First Baptist Church of Castilla County. There's a bunch of Mexican Catholics. And this little old white cracker man went down there and started a church, and him and his family. And we went down there and had a meeting with them. Just nice people. Anyways, we met them down there in this little bitty town, little San Luis town, got maybe like 300 people in it. And I met with him, and one of his boys got in the car and showed my wife and kids how to get back to the house. And me and this preacher went on visitation for, how long was it? 8 hours. 8 hours. We drove these roads. Man, these roads are washed out. There's craters in it that deep, you know. And this preacher, he don't even know where he's at. Man, he's driving, just flying down these gravel roads, and I'm hanging on thinking, man, this guy's going to kill me, you know. I don't want to die in this place down here. I want to at least make it up to civilization before I die. So we're driving through there, you know, and I'm riding in this car, and he's driving one of those, it's a Mazda MPV, like a little van-type utility vehicle thing, flying. I mean, there's potholes that are this deep. He's boom, boom, boom. And we're driving that through there, and they had just had, torrential downpours of rain. And we went down this little valley on this gravel road. And it, man, there was a washout down through there. I'm not pulling your leg. It was about 3 foot deep of a crater. I mean a stinking crater, about as wide as one of these pews. And he's driving, well, I mean, just flying. And I thought, surely to God he sees that thing. And he didn't see it. And he's looking off, you know, talking, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, man, we're going to hit that thing. And sure enough, I braced for impact, man. I held on. He hit that thing in the front end of that car, man. It just boom, and just things went crazy. He hit it so hard that I came out of the seat and cut my head on the top of the door rail up there, door frame. We hit that thing, man. Now he's fighting just to keep it straight because it's knocked it so far out of line. And, you know, the front end's doing this right here now, you know. And we finally make it out to the asphalt. Now, that's a speed bump. Get over the hump. That had nothing to do with the lesson. Funny story. Just thought I'd tell you. Anyways. Centers around the book, guys. Centers around the book. We're not going to have any growth in our lives. We're not going to be able to see God work in our lives like we want Him to and like you desire to apart from this. Faith in this right here will go and go and go and go and go and keep going. Keep going. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the time here. Help us to spend more time in your book and help us to love it more, because if we love it, then maybe we'll spend more time with it. And I know pretty much everybody here, they believe your book, and we know it's true. But help us. Help us to get over the hump that keeps us down and keeps us from being able to move forward for you. And please get Pastor and Janet back safely. We sure miss them when they're not here. Just seems like a part of our church isn't here. So pray that you get them back safely. Help them to have a good time while they're gone. And I pray you bless them. And Lord, be with the ones that are out tonight that couldn't make it for whatever reason. Please keep them safe and healthy. And guide us and lead us throughout the rest of this week. And get us back here on Thursday. I can't wait to hear what Pastor's got for us. So I pray you'd give us a hunger and a desire for your book. You said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if we'll hunger for it, then I believe you'll fill us. So thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation. And thank you for this book that you've given us. And pray you'd please come tonight. We want to hear the trumpet sound and get out of here and go home to meet you, prepared to meet you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.